Hello, I'm Dan Aykroyd, and welcome to this fine motion picture emporium. It's nice to know you're here tonight, rather than at home shoving cheap little plastic cartridges into cheap imported video systems that keep you and your family hostage in your own home or apartment. Now let's face it, big screen entertainment is what it's all about. We've enjoyed it for years. Movies are great. There's nothing like a good movie, or even a bad one for that matter.
One podcast, two assholes, and infinite possibilities. Strap in, for you're about to experience the brilliant awesomeness that is A Couple of Average Joes Movie Review Show. You're welcome.
Welcome back, my friends, to the podcast that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. I am Joe Spiegel, and sitting right there, man, is Mr.
Mike Sutherland.
Oh, hey, you forgot your name for a second, didn't you?
No.
Or were you just thinking about how stupid I am?
Probably.
All right. This is our Yoga Hosers episode. We're going to be talking about that fine piece of work and also my Netflix pick of the week, which is going to be Narcos Season 2. Mike's going to be?
Politically Correct University.
Okay. I don't know if I've ever seen that one, but
it's got Jeremy Irons in it. Okay. Jeremy Piven. Jeremy Irons. Jeremy Piven and David Spade.
Okay. All right. All right, and then we got some news tidbits from Mel Gibson, Shia LaBeouf, or I'm sorry, Shia LaBeouf.
These aren't fucking news. This is goddamn Us Weekly, Entertainment Weekly,
filler bullshit,
fucking a current affair shit.
I know, it's filler bullshit. News about possible new animated films from the Batman universe.
It's not even no. It wasn't even a possible of a new animated film. It was they would like to do this.
Which means it's going to happen.
No, it doesn't mean anything.
If the two baddest motherfuckers in...
It doesn't mean anything.
Fine, we'll talk about that.
That's why I'm not bringing it up. Well, that's why I'm not saying anything about it.
We'll also be talking about the Weinstein Company is going to be producing a miniseries about the Waco Siege from 1993.
Right.
And then I saw a trailer for a college hazing movie starring James Franco called Goat.
I watched Spring Breakers.
I keep wanting to see that, but I always forget about it.
Well, we'll talk about that with the goat thing.
Okay. Awesome. I heard they've been trying to get a sequel made to that, too.
There is a sequel made to it.
Is Franco in it?
No. We'll talk about that later.
All right. Well, then quit talking about it.
You talk about it.
All right. All that and more and a couple of Average Joes. Take it away.
Dave Franco's eyebrows.
All right. Here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Meanwhile,
How you doing?
All right, let's do it.
All right, I said James Franco was in the fucking movie, not Dave Franco.
I know, I couldn't say James Franco fast enough. My brain just went right to Dave Franco's eyebrows.
Why didn't you just say Johnny Depp? This movie, it's got Johnny Depp in it. Come on.
Dave Franco's eyebrows is funnier.
Fine,
take
Mike.
It away, Dave Franco's eyebrows.
Fine. There you go. All right, so this week, Mike and I went and saw Kevin Smith's second film in his True North trilogy called Yoga Hosers, which, of course, is another film of his that's inspired by one of his podcasts. Holy shit, man. Look, we already made a commitment months and months and months ago, probably even over a year ago, to see this movie. They finished filming it, I guess, in January of last year, which I can't believe it's taken this long to get it released, even in its limited release that it has. But the best part about this movie is not having expectations when you go see it.
Is that it's over?
Yes. Look, if I'm trying not to be biased here, if I was not a Kevin Smith fan and I didn't have a high level of respect for him, for his position with Hollywood and everything like that, and how good he is with his own people, I would call this movie an utter waste of time, piece of shit. But I take things into account. Me being a fan of Kevin Smith, I try to give him some leeway, but I'm still not very generous when it came to my rating for this film. All right. What was our predictions for Rotten Tomatoes on this?
Do you really want to know?
I know it was low. It had to be, because no one loves Kevin Smith anymore when it comes to critical circles.
15 for you, 45 for me.
Okay. So as of today...
I was really generous.
Yes, you were. As of today, which I don't know, it's fucking September 6th. Oh, my son's birthday tomorrow. So yeah, it's September 6th. All right. Happy birthday, Kendrick.
Like he listens to the fucking show.
Maybe. No, they don't. This movie has a current approval rating of 21% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That makes you closer.
So one out of every five critics gave this movie a positive. Which, I mean, if you really think about it, that's not bad for Kevin Smith right now. You know, but I think Tusk got a higher rating than this.
Yeah. But it only has a $5 million budget, and it's already made its money back even before it was released.
Yeah. And look, Tusk, we saw Tusk 2 years ago, and it wasn't a great movie, but this movie makes Tusk look even better than it was, than it is. I think because, especially the performance of Michael Parks in it, which is funny because Michael Parks was originally going to play the Ralph Garman character.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And
No. Vanessa Paradis.
Oh, the she's the mother of Lily Rose?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, I guess because they all go to the same, you know, PTA meetings and shit, you know, down in L.A. So, but anyway, yeah, Michael Parks was originally going to be in this movie, and he was going to play Ralph Garman's role as the, you know, the head Nazi guy, right, the Nazi scientist. But he fell sick during or before filming, so he had to bow out of it. So then instead we get the colorful performance of Ralph Garman, which we'll get into in a little bit. Look, from the first part of this movie, I already was starting to get a bad taste in my mouth. Besides the shitty trailers that came out for it, was the whole overlong song, you know, performance of them, you know, performing in the, the storage room in their.
Overly long song performance?
Yes. It seemed like... Please tell me that you saw this. Every time that they performed a song in this movie, you know, Lily Rose Depp and Harley Quinn Smith, they had to have them do the entire song.
The entire song.
It sure as hell seemed like they did.
They didn't do the entire song.
All right. And every time they did a song, it seemed like they played the entire song for them when they were singing the song to Tony Hale's character, you know, Lily Rose Depp's dad in the movie. And whatever else they sung in the film as well.
They opened the fucking movie with "I'm the Man" by Anthrax.
Was that the song?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know you, but regardless, it just seemed.
But they didn't sing the whole song.
But it seemed because they threw in their own shit into it. But
no, they didn't sing the whole song. They cut out like an entire fucking the entire third verse.
Okay, fine. But they also threw in all their own banter in between.
No, they didn't.
You didn't know this, and you didn't know that, and then you know how it was like.
They threw in three different words. That was it.
Like Lily Rose Depp's character was the straight man in the song, and Harley Quinn kept changing.
Have you
it.
Heard the song?
No.
Then you got to listen to the song. If you listen to the song, then you would know.
Okay,
but that's not the point. The point is that no, they didn't. They didn't throw in their own words, with the exception of maybe three.
All right.
So they sort of did, but not really.
Okay, so. But what I'm trying to get at here is that you could tell that Kevin Smith used this movie to show off his daughter and show off Johnny Depp's daughter.
Absolutely.
And look,
there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if Will Smith can do it with his fucking untalented kids, then why can't Kevin Smith and Johnny Depp do it with their kids that actually have
some
talent?
You mean fucking Will Smith's weird ass kids that are into incest and want to live in a fucking cabin and eat squirrels? His kids are fucked up, dude.
Oh, yeah.
There is something wrong with those
kids.
Oh,
I think Scientology has dipped in a little too far into that.
I don't think
pool.
It has anything to do with Scientology.
I don't know. I'm just throwing something in there because I don't know shit about them. I just know about the weird shit.
Dude.
Yeah. Anyway. but that's what I'm trying to say. The biggest thing going for this movie is the fact that Harley Quinn Smith and Lily Rose Depp actually handle their characters perfectly fine. All right? And I was actually surprised at how good of an actress Lily Rose Depp is. She's talented. I mean, when she was speaking those lines in French,
yep,
she was delivering them. I mean, just no delay, man. She was handling that shit. When she was playing music, she was handling that shit. I don't know how much of it was, you know, movie magic or whatever, but still, she sold me on it. And every time she was acting in a scene, she took control, and it was like she had been acting for years.
Yep.
So I give major props to that. What I can't give major props to is the overall story and most of the characters in the film. You know, like I said before, this movie is just a collection of actors from previous Smith films, especially Tusk. And, I mean, it's befitting because it's set in Canada and it's part of that, you know, True North trilogy. But
right.
So it's connected to Tusk in a few ways and, you know, more than another. But my problem is that a lot of these characters are just over-the-top goofy, especially Justin Long's character. You know, his character did not sell me at all. He was stupid. He was, you know, Justin Long's a talented actor, okay? He was great in, you know, Live Free or Die Hard. He was great in Jeepers Creepers. He was, you know, everything I see him in where he's acting like a normal person, he's very good. And he's oh, hell, Zach and Mary Make a Porno when he played the porn guy. He was fucking great in that. You know, the gay porn guy?
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. Absolutely awesome. And if you watch all of his deleted scenes from that too, he's fucking just doesn't miss a beat. So I don't truly blame Justin Long for his performance in this movie. I blame just the lazy writing for his character, you know, mostly.
No, I don't blame the lazy writing. I blame him for being lazy about doing his stuff.
You could be right. But, I mean, this movie, you're not really supposed to think with it. And my problem is I was trying to criticize it as I was watching it.
Here's my issue with the whole thing and the whole hindsight.
In a nutshell.
Is what they should have done with Tusk, which is we should have had the evil scientist. They should have done the Star Wars thing, which is the evil scientist, Ralph Garman's character.
Which Smith is a huge fan of.
Yeah. Is like, let's just say like he's like the Emperor. Okay, he's the guy behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So he's creating this golem that to kill critics, which is just fucking stupid, but it's also pretty funny.
Yeah.
But they could have done this where Tusk is he wants to turn critics into these fucking walruses, so he has Michael Parr's character.
Yeah.
You know? Testing it out.
Yeah.
And then that all goes to shit. So part two is whatever, right? But here's where I would have differed from this, okay?
Okay.
I would have gone the whole Gremlins route.
Uh-huh.
In that you have something happen to where the town has to shut down.
Yeah.
A bad storm.
Okay.
Okay? And then you turn it into Gremlins. The little mascots for the store, the A to Z thing.
Oh, the little bears.
Yeah. See, he could have taken those and made you know, little gremlins out of them, right?
Yeah.
And then they start going bad. They turn into the fucking Bratzies.
Or what if the Bratzies were inside of those things?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They turn into the Bratzies.
They're wearing the bear.
No. No, they turn costumes. Into the, you know, don't feed them after midnight or whatever. There's okay. rules associated.
Yeah.
And then they turn into these fucking Bratzies or something associated with, you know.
Yeah.
And then you have that whole thing. And then the third one is he decides, fuck this, I'm just going to go all out.
Yeah.
Bring out the moose.
Yeah.
Right? And then the moose is going to kill whatever.
Yeah.
You know, he's just going to go on a rampage and try to kill everything. And then they have, you know, the heroes save the day type of thing.
Yeah.
But that's what I would have done with Yoga Hosers.
Mm-hmm.
And in because Kevin Smith is a huge fan of not just Lucas, but Joe Dante and Richard Donner and Spielberg and all these other guys. You know, and he crafts it in his own way. But this movie could have been so much better if he had just aped a couple of things, you know, and done the fucking and done the Gremlins deal, where now they have to fight these fucking these evil little bastards that have taken over the town.
Yeah,
you know, and are destroying things.
Yeah,
but
look,
but Kevin doesn't think like everybody else. So
no, yeah, I mean, look. Still, no matter how much I dislike this movie, I give him props for doing shit the way he wants to do it.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to is, look, he's out there making the movies, and we're here not making any fucking money.
Criticizing it, I know.
Well, we're not really I mean, we are, but we paid for the movies, so.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, apart from, and this is, we've already discussed this in the past, but apart from the fact that most critics don't pay to see these movies.
Yeah.
We fucking pay to see these movies.
Yeah.
You know, so our hard-earned dollar is going towards his profit margin.
Yeah.
And we have every right to fucking complain if a movie's not good or whatever.
Up to par. But,
yeah, and my problem is that it's not as good as Tusk, and the Bratzies pissed me off.
Dude, I mean,
the whole idea behind it when Ralph Garman is explaining it and his little wiener men.
Yeah.
Which fucking make me laugh every time I heard him say that.
I was just...
My little wiener babies.
When they finally started showing the Bratzies and with Kevin Smith doing the voices and performing them.
Wunderbar.
Yeah, the like five words of German language that was actually coming.
Just, all he said was "wunderbar," but we figure
wunderbar.
Out why it's doing that because they're not fully baked. Yeah. You know, they're supposed to bake for 100 years, and 70 years later they.
Yeah,
you know.
I think the only one that was truly baking during this movie was Kevin Smith while he was filming it.
Well, it all comes from the his smodcast with Mosier when Mosier came up with the term fucking yoga hosers.
Yeah.
And Kevin Smith is like, this is the first time I've ever heard of that.
Yeah, exactly. And so, but, oh my God, dude, when Smith started showing up as the Bratzies and he just kept going, wunderbar.
Well, he said a couple of other
things. And Fräulein and nine. And I was at a complete loss for words. I didn't know whether to just start laughing or...
What was creepy was when he's in... When the big fucking golem thing, and then it turns towards the girls, and you hear Kevin Smith say wunderbar, but he says it like in this weird... not pedophile-y, but, wunderbar, right? and like, this evil sound comes out of this thing.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay... That's fucking creepy as shit and works really, really well. And it starts moving forward.
Yeah. I couldn't buy it. I couldn't buy any of it because of it. Look, it had.
That. No, I agree. I couldn't. But there was a couple of moments where you're like, this could turn out to be fucking really, really good.
Yeah.
It's that line. It's going to either be really fucking tremendously awesome.
Yeah.
Or stupid as shit.
Just like when fucking Garmin's holding up the plank to the mouth of the goddamn creature and these little fucking CG
Kevin Smiths
are running up and jumping into it. I'm just like, God, this is so fucking horrible. Look, I understand when you have a budget, you can only do so much, especially when it's this low.
Right.
But the CG on some of these parts were so fucking bad. That whole entire scene when they're in the convenience store and they're using mop sticks and stuff to squash all these.
Yeah.
All these. I mean, dude, there was all these confetti sparkles going through the air.
Right.
And you could and none of
and
them.
You're like, what the fuck is that? Yeah, I'm like, I don't know. And none like, of is them, that sauerkraut?
Yeah. None of them were landing on any of Depp's and Smith's characters at all.
Well, no, that's not true. They were. When she had Smith turned around, there was a big like fucking gnarly splatter mark on the back of her.
I didn't see it. All I know is I
could just, I'm right there with you. Yeah. Same thing.
I could just tell that someone would have their computer screen and they were just imposing all the glitter and shit. Yeah.
What they did was they ran through the office with green screen and were just throwing buckets of fucking glitter in the air.
Yeah.
And filming it.
Yeah.
And then
and then
placing
the part where the one of the Bratzies gets flung into this CG sign that starts wagging back and forth, and it just it just took me out of the movie. It was that bad. And then the part where one of them was cut in half, and I'm looking at the bottom of him where he's cut in half, and you just tell it was all cartoony looking, and it took me out.
And I'm okay with that. The whole movie took me out of it.
Yeah,
but. It's Kevin Smith. I mean, even after when we were sitting out in the parking lot and like the fucking day of, they released a video with him and Ralph Garman talking about the critics and stuff like that. And Smith was just like, okay, I can go with that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You know what? There's times where he is very humble when it comes to people's critique of him. Yeah. And, there was part of me that wanted him to just go, fuck you. Fuck all of you. I made it the way I wanted to make it. Suck this dick.
Right.
That's what I wanted to... I kind of wanted to hear him say that. Because it gets to a point where it's like, look, everyone's talking shit about what you're doing.
But he does say that. He said that he doesn't need to... He doesn't need to repeat himself consistently, unlike us, because we like to hear the sound of our own voices.
Oh, I love my voice.
Yeah, me too.
Wunderbar.
Wunderbar. We've heard him say that, like, in that interview. I don't know if you heard what he said about Tusk, is that he still had a grudge against everybody when he made Tusk, you know, and the whole critics thing and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Until he did the scene with Lily and Harley, and he was just like, this is what it's all about, and this is the happiest day, and I want this all the time now.
Yeah.
So he decided to make Yoga Hosers just based off of that.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't have to. He was going to do another movie.
Yeah.
But he went with Yoga Hosers and fucking enjoyed the shit out of himself making this movie.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was the first time in a long time that he's done that. And when you have someone, it doesn't matter how bad or good the film is.
Yeah.
If he's happy doing this stuff, the dude makes money.
Yeah.
You know, he's already made the $5 million back for his investors.
Mm-hmm.
Every showing of this movie after that point, after Sundance, every showing of this movie is just fucking pure profit.
Yeah.
And he's already sold it to pay-per-view and DirecTV and fucking Comcast and overseas and everything else.
Yeah.
This movie's going to make $20 million.
Yeah, and look, he got to spend the whole time with his friends and family filming it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that's great. How many people can you actually say get to spend time with the people they love, even when they're working?
I know of one person.
No. Uh-huh.
But he does independent, you know, it's Jason.
Yeah.
You know, he gets to work with his son and a couple of other people that he knows really, really well.
Yeah.
And that's about it. I don't know anyone in the industry, really, that works with their kid. I mean, hell, Johnny Depp's family, Johnny Depp, his ex-wife, and their daughter were in this movie.
Yeah.
And Kevin Smith's family, you know, the entire brood and Muse was in this movie.
Yeah, and Garmin.
yeah. So there's nothing wrong with making a movie with all your friends and having a great fucking time.
Yeah, and pretty much what I stated at the end of my review is that, look, it's great that you've had a great time with your family and friends, but now I think it's time to come back and start making the movies that you're best known for.
Why?
Because
you said so?
I'm a critic.
I know, but why the fuck do you care what he does? Who cares? Let him do what he wants to do.
Okay, but you do realize that when we talk about movies, we talk about what we want to see and what we don't want to see, right?
Right, but I'm still going to go see Moose Jaws.
Oh, we're going to go see Moose Jaws, regardless of how shitty this movie was. Because we both believe in supporting Kevin Smith.
Right.
And we both still love the guy.
Yeah, not just, you know.
But what I'm saying is, he is still completely capable of making movies like Chasing Amy.
But he doesn't want to.
Okay.
He said that. He's done with that stuff. He doesn't want to make any more movies that he has to deal with studios or anybody else that fucks with his
vision. Okay, but he's going to be making a Clerks 3.
Okay, but that's different.
That makes me happy because he when he writes on Clerks and shit, he does a great job with it. I don't care what anyone said about Clerks Part 2. That was a very good sequel.
Okay? I liked it. I still
liked it
watch
a lot.
It.
I loved it.
I know there's not one person that I've talked to that doesn't like that
exactly
movie.
I only heard critic complaints about it, and fuck them. So and then also the Mallrats thing, whether it becomes a movie or if it becomes a TV series. I mean, see, he's still doing things back to what he's done before.
Right, but I don't care. I don't want him to go back. that's the thing. The secret to life, okay?
Uh-huh.
The reason why you're saying that is because it pulls you out of your comfort zone. So what you want, and then that's fine, and that's because your body is built to resist change, okay? Your brain and everything else. And this is interesting.
You're talking about conformity, I know.
Not conformity. Change. So whenever something, and Yoga Hosers aside, whenever you see something that you don't like, whether it's what somebody looks like or what they're wearing or what they're driving, we've all been conditioned to think that, right?
Yeah.
So, hey, Kevin Smith, go back to what you normally do. No. Because we've all been conditioned to believe that in order for us to like what everybody else is doing, they have to continue doing the same exact stuff.
Okay, but you do see that there's a difference between making a goofy movie that's full of nepotism
No.
compared to intelligent writing.
No.
You
I don't care. And there's a reason for that. That's why I'm getting into it. Our brains have been conditioned into believing that if we continually watch the same stuff, we'll be satisfied and happy.
Okay.
That's exactly what happens. I have challenged myself. I'm doing a 90-day weightlifting challenge. Okay. Exercise challenge. And this is not, you know, I'm not announcing this because or whatever. I'm doing it for myself.
Yeah. You selfish prick.
Exactly. And that's what you have to be.
Yeah.
I came home last night. As I was driving home, the very first thing my brain started to do was, you're too tired. You're too tired to work out. Just go, you know, sit down, relax. Don't do anything.
Yep.
You know, watch TV or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I came downstairs and I sat down for a minute and checked the website and whatever else, because the numbers on the website are just fucking weird. They're astronomically high, and I can't fathom why. But they're not.
Maybe we have something to offer.
But they're not real numbers. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Not all of them. I mean, there are real numbers involved, but regardless. So I checked that, and I was just like, wow, that's really fucking weird. And then because yesterday we had like 864, but the day before that, we had like 1,000.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh. You know, I did the Hank Hill thing. Bobby. So I went and changed. And I picked up the weights and I went outside and did my thing. I have my headset. I had a headset. Where the fuck did it go?
It's still on there, the blue one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's there.
Oh. There it is. It's hiding. So I have like a Bluetooth headset, so I've turned on some music and I do my routine right now.
Yeah.
Which is this 90-day, and I'm going to do the same routine for 90 days, not changing anything, and get myself into this habit. So when I stopped, you know, everything was fine again. But my brain starts going through this thing, and I'm working on some other stuff. My brain still fucks with me and says,
"Yeah,
oh, you can do it tomorrow. You can do it later. Do it, you know.
Yep.
You can push it off and push it off and push it off." And there's stuff that I pushed off, like putting up the new Joe's Versus video.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't put it up. I was going to, fuck it. I forgot, actually.
Yeah.
Like, oh. So, you know, coming up this week is the new Joe's Versus videos tomorrow and Thursday and Friday. But regardless, that's what we have grown accustomed to.
Yeah.
We get complacent instead of trying new things and changing things up.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I'm always fucking around with the numbers on, not the numbers, the website or the podcast or whatever to change things up, because yeah, I'm tired of complacency. Mm-hmm. I want stuff to happen, and it's going to take some time.
Yeah.
But the only way it's going to happen is if you fuck with it, fuck with the formula a bit, and see what happens. And then if it doesn't change, then you kind of readjust.
Okay. And so, great for Kevin Smith changing it up. Great for him. I'm very happy for him.
No, you're not.
But me as a fan of his movies and his writing style, it has gotten to a point where I'm like, okay, it's not really working for me. And I know, who the fuck am I, right?
Again, it's the complacency thing. That's why we got episode 7 Star Wars, which is the same exact thing as episode 4.
Listen to me. You can talk about complacency all you want, but You can't sit there and say that Yoga Hosers is a good movie.
I never said Yoga Hosers was a good movie.
And that he's going into a great direction by doing this.
Those words never came out of my mouth. What I said was, we've grown so used to complacency and the fact that he did this and that was great, and then now he does this and it's not the same Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
Well, of course it's not the same Kevin Smith, because he doesn't want to go back to, and going backwards is not progressing in life.
So you take this movie as a learning process.
That's pretty much what it is. He's doing his own thing.
His own experimenting.
Right. And he's going back to being an independent movie maker.
Uh-huh.
You know? And not a studio guy.
Yeah.
Just like Quentin Tarantino. I mean, Hateful Eight was an experiment.
Uh-huh.
And whether you liked it or didn't, it was a failed experiment in Tarantino's eyes, because and a couple of other people's, because it didn't.
Why it didn't make Django money?
No, it didn't produce the same effect that Django or Kill Bill did. But that doesn't stop Tarantino from continuing on in his process, mm-hmm. because you have to take the highs with the lows. He still did the movie. He still likes the movie, although it didn't perform as well at the box office, and he has some reasons for that, Disney, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Those are his reasons. And, you know, it's kind of hard to argue with that. But Tarantino is doing the same thing as Kevin Smith, but just on a bigger budget.
Yeah.
He's doing his own thing.
Yeah.
Which is, he did his Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs, and he did Kill Bill, you know, and then he did Jackie Brown. All of these movies that he's done completely different from the last one.
When he did Jackie Brown, which was his third movie, he had offers from everyone to do whatever he wanted.
Right.
And people were shocked when he decided to do Jackie Brown, you know, based off the Elmore Leonard novel, Rum Punch. And yeah, you're right. He was like, you know what? I don't give a fuck about all this. This is what I want to make. Are you with me or are you not with me?
See, but you're okay with that.
But yeah, because I like the movie.
Again, but Kevin Smith did the same exact thing. You all want this, and this is what I want to do.
Okay.
But and you're not okay with it.
That doesn't mean I'm supposed to like this movie.
I didn't say you have to like the movie.
Look,
but
I already
just
said it.
You just did the Quentin Tarantino thing, uh-huh. and you're okay with him switching it up.
Yeah.
You got excited about it.
Because the end result was, it was good.
But with Kevin Smith, you're like, but... And that's what I'm trying to say is he's doing the same exact shit. He's doing his own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And people may be throwing fucking, you know, vagina and titties and millions and millions of dollars at him. Or, you know, at least hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, he's getting fucking, you know, he's on TV almost all the time.
Oh,
now.
Yeah. AMC loves this guy.
You can't fucking watch something on goddamn AMC without seeing Kevin Smith's face there.
He's in video games now.
Yeah. So they're throwing money and rolls at him, you know, and he's doing his own thing, regardless of how fucking stupid it is.
Yeah, and like I've already said, I give him props for doing his own thing, but that doesn't mean I have to like this movie.
Right, but again, it's kind of hypocritical. You're okay with everybody else, like Robin Rodriguez, you know. Sin City, not a great movie. Or Sin City 2, I should say.
Yeah.
I watched it. I've watched it a couple of times. It's actually not a bad movie. I'm still not a fan of Eva, whatever her name is.
Eva Longoria?
I guess. Whoever...
Oh, Eva Green.
Eva Green. Yeah, she was in 300 Part 2.
Yeah. She was. She's in the main character in Penny Dreadful. She's very good in it.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of hers.
Everyone who knows her as Vesper Lynd from Casino Royale.
But, or she was in 300 Part 2.
Yeah, but I mean, she's Vesper. She's Daniel Craig's driving force in all the Bond movies.
Anyways.
Obligatory fart noise.
I've watched Sin City Part 2
uh-huh.
several times. It's on one of the movie channels.
Yeah, I've only seen it the one time when
and
we saw it in theaters.
I watched it, and I'm like, actually, you know what? It's not a bad movie. I'm going to watch it again,
mm-hmm.
you know, at some point. And I watched it again, and I'm like, you know, I mean, it's not the first one.
Yeah.
But
and it was hyped up big time.
Yeah, there are specific sequences in the movie that should have, you know, like the Joseph Gordon-Levitt sequence was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
But there was other ones, like when Josh Brolin, Dwight, gets caught and he's brought to Old Town.
Yeah.
You know. you know. And the Marv stuff was actually not too bad. But overlooking, like, the three bad things in it, overall, it's not a bad movie.
Yeah.
And then we, you know, we hammer on Robert Rodriguez for doing his own thing. Oh, no, Spy Kids, blah. Spy Kids made like fucking $1 billion. That fucking franchise made $1 billion. And we're like, but what about Once Upon a Time in Mexico or, you know, Desperado Part 4 or whatever?
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't want to do that. You know, he's focusing on, you know, From Dusk Till Dawn, the series.
Yeah.
And he's doing his own thing. And he's got this director's chair thing going on, which is fucking amazing if you've ever seen anything that he's done.
I've seen four or five of them, and they're very good.
He's got a new one with George Miller.
Okay.
It's really fucking good.
I want to see that, yeah.
But overall, we're these three directors that we're huge fans of,
mm-hmm.
the problem is that we get excited for the other two, And when Kevin Smith goes and does something mediocre, right, at best,
yeah,
if you can see the meme on that one, which is the hippo that says mediocre at best, we get butthurt instead of going, okay, well, the movie sucked or, yeah, you know, whatever. It didn't suck. It just it wasn't great. And then we're like, well, he should go back to doing what he normally does because he'd be more successful. Yeah, I don't know. That's my rant.
Look, I just we've seen he's done much better. All right.
Yeah, but who cares?
I care.
So what?
Okay, well, I've stated my opinion. That's okay. It. Done. All right, so...
That's because of the complacency thing.
Oh, you can label it, but...
I'm not labeling it. This isn't a good movie.
This isn't a good movie. Yeah. And that's pretty much my bottom line is, you know, I've seen Kevin Smith. Look, Copland's a better movie. Or Cop Out. Cop Out's a better movie than this. And I know all he did was direct it. He didn't have anything else to do with it. But you see where I'm going.
Yeah, again, it's not a great movie, but who cares?
I know. See, you like it a lot because of the whole freedom thing. And I
give the movie the same rating as you do. Hmm. It has nothing to do with liking it. The fact of the matter is that Kevin Smith is doing his own thing, and people are getting fucking angry about it.
Yeah, I'm not angry.
Because they want him. Yeah, I know. Not you.
Yeah.
But they want him to go back to doing fucking Clerks or Chasing Amy or Dogma.
Here's the problem.
He doesn't want to.
After everything that you've said, here's the problem. If he goes back and tries to make movies that same way like he did before, I think that they would suffer because he's not. But he's not going to. That's what I mean, though. It's not in his heart anymore, right?
He's going to do his own thing. So whatever comes up, like he wanted to do Hit Somebody, but the idea was stolen from him, which kind of pissed me off because Jay Baruchel did Goon with Sean Scott William, whatever.
Sean William Scott. Thank you. Stifler.
Yeah, it was Stifler. Thank you.
Yeah.
I can never remember that dude's name. And that was a good movie.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Smith had both of those in the movie.
Yeah.
Jay Baruchel and Stifler were going to be in Hit Somebody.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they go and do their own movie. Just like with fucking Paul Blart. Or I'm sorry, the other guys.
Yeah, other guys.
And
Cop Out.
Yeah. And Cop Out. Yeah. So, well, I don't think it was Cop Out. Was it? No, it wasn't Cop Out.
I'm pretty sure it was.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It was Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg, and then...
Yeah, they're the other guys.
Maybe it was Cop Out. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it was Cop Out. Either way.
Doesn't matter. The point being is...
Sorry about that.
Yeah. When it comes to doing the stuff, no matter how good or how bad it is, if they're doing it and they're happy, more power to them.
Yeah, look, if I could separate myself from being a movie lover and respecting a man who's doing what he wants to do,
right,
I can. Okay, but there's still the movie fan side of me, and I'm going to state my opinion on it.
Yeah, no, and that's acceptable, and even though you're wrong. But
I'm truly hoping that Moose Jaws has a little more substance to it or something, that it's better put together, it's better written.
I honestly think that Yoga Hosers was just like a throw together last minute thing.
Yeah.
While he was working on Clerks 3 and Moose Jaws, because he never talked about Yoga Hosers. He was talking about, I'm going to do Moose Jaws.
Yeah.
And we're going to do Clerks 3. And then all of a sudden, fucking Walmart rats? Yeah. Wall rats popped up out of nowhere. You know?
Yeah.
And then Yoga Hosers. So he's got like three more fucking projects he's working on.
I just thought of a Paul Blart sequel. Wall Blart.
Ugh. That would... God damn it. I swear to God, if there is a fucking... Within the next 3 months, if we see another sequel for Paul Blart, part 3.
Paul Wall Blart.
And it says Wall Blart on it, I'm suing somebody.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, you know, there was a few moments that I actually enjoyed in the movie, okay? I enjoyed the Ralph Garman scenery chewing scene, you know, where he's going through all of his voices, all of his most popular voices from the podcast.
Yeah.
That was Ooh-ah. Funny. Ooh-ah. Right? And you know, he did Schwarzenegger. He did Pacino. He did Hughlhauser.
Yeah, I can never remember that guy's name.
That's amazing. Right?
My goofy impression. Fuck you.
Yeah. And then he did a couple others. But, yeah, I mean, that shit ran a little too long. But it was funny because you could see how talented Ralph Garman is, you know, with his impressions and everything. And I liked a couple things, like when I did the flashback to the 40s, or no, in like 1939 in Canada, where you had Haley Joel Osment's character.
That, but I wasn't,
Some of it, I mean, it was kind of fun. I mean, it wasn't perfect. It was nowhere near perfect, but I kind of liked it. I liked how it was doing this mythology kind of thing. You know, it was trying to build this mythology up about the Nazi scientists and everything. And it worked a little bit, but then, you know, what's the end result? The end result's a bunch of fucking Kevin Smiths dressed up as sausages running around saying Wunderbar, and then a giant goddamn, I don't know, a throwaway character from Splatterhouse or something being the main big monster. And, you know, with the weird looking, I don't know, just the production design on it, man. The costume design was just, it worked, but then it didn't work at the same time. Some parts of it looked good, some parts looked cheap. And that was the problem with it. They tried to make him look like a goalie, you know, a goalie monster. And I guess you'd call him a golem, huh? A golem.
Golem.
Sweet. All right. Anyway, I gave the movie a 2.5 out of 10. All right. It should have been way worse than it was. But when it's all said and done, this is a 1-star movie to me. And Kevin Smith, his energy and the acting of the two main leads, they make the movie watchable.
Right.
And, you know, Johnny Depp,
regardless of how fucking retarded it is.
Yeah, and then Johnny Depp's character, his character was worse this time around than it was in Tusk. Tusk?
No, dude, come on. With the moles moving all over the face?
That just started to get old for me. They overdid it. It was funny for a second, but then they just kept doing it and doing it. But
nobody noticed. Nobody made a mention of it either.
I know.
Which was the best part. I mean, every time they looked at him, spit. Every time they looked at him.
Your enjoyment of it is what's making me laugh.
Yeah. I don't know. There was just parts of it. Like, they had a different nose for him this time.
Yeah, you know, I know why. Because, you know, it was PG-13, right?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
then okay. they I mean, the ball chin thing drawing was what made the movie rated R, and then they had to, you know, they tried to appeal, and then the ratings board changed their, before the appeal came through, and they were like, okay, we'll give you a PG-13, right? But yeah, I could see that the line on his nose to make it look like a dick was, it was a lot lower.
Yeah.
So it was barely there. So yeah, I could tell they safened it up for the PG-13 rating, right? But it was funny because when he put that picture of the balls over his face, I mean, he had the dick nose and the balls,
right?
Yeah, it's so stupid. But I just it was like Johnny Depp is an excellent actor. We've seen him in multiple things, but in this role, it just seems like he just kept going and on and on with it, and it worked for me in Tusk. To a point.
Right.
But in this movie, it didn't work at all. He was in way too much of the movie for me.
I hope he gets eaten in Moose Jaws.
I have a feeling he's going to. I really do.
Guy LaPointe, yeah, bounty hunter.
Yeah. I just don't know
Canadian bounty hunter.
Yeah. And look, more props come out. You know, Johnny Depp. Look, Johnny Depp could just let this whole big Hollywood thing go to his head like a lot of actors do.
Yeah, he's having fun with it.
But he's in this low-budget movie with Kevin Smith, you know, directing and writing it. You know, and his daughter's in it, and his daughter's best friend's in it, and he didn't have a stick up his ass about it.
Right.
He came on set, and he just had a great time.
Yeah.
And just like when he did the 21 Jump Street cameo, he came on set, and he had a great time.
Yeah.
And that's what's awesome about Johnny Depp. I don't care how bad his movies are flopping and how much critics are talking shit, and he's got, you know, vengeful ex-wives. Fuck all that shit. When it comes down to it, Johnny Depp is an awesome person, and I keep hoping that he does the same thing. He does whatever the fuck he wants.
Yep. You know, that's what he's doing.
Yeah. And so more power to Johnny Depp.
Absolutely.
All right. Got anything else to add on this movie?
Nope.
All right. All right. My Netflix pick of the week is the season 2 of Narcos. It just came out. I watched all 10 episodes in about 3 days. This show is so goddamn good. I totally forgot that there is more that happens with the whole Colombian, you know, drug cartels, you know, thing after Pablo Escobar. But season one ends with Pablo Escobar on the run. Okay, he still has his kingdom, but he's on the run from everybody. And season two is about his inevitable downfall. You know, and then it ends with what everyone, you know, who knows about the history of Pablo Escobar, you know, knows how he ends up.
Right.
But it just shows how well, I mean, let me get this out of the way. This show, to make it in, to keep it interesting, it adds a few things to the history, to the myth, you know, well, I don't want to say mythology, but it creates a mythology because of it. It adds some things that didn't happen. It adds some characters that weren't in there, or they change, you know, characters that are based on other people in real life to make it more dramatic, okay? But the end result is the same, and the end result is what happens to Pablo Escobar. I mean, they even filmed how he gets caught and killed. They had him wearing the same exact clothes from the pictures. They had the same exact set from that looks like the rooftop that he got killed on. I mean, it was amazing. The level of detail. you know, the two police, the two DEA agents, you know, played by Boyd Holbrook and Pedro Pascal, they do a really good job of, you know, trying to, you know, go with the flow with the system, having to deal with other, you know, the Cali cartel who's coming up trying to take over Escobar's spot. Then you have the Los Pepes, which were, they were a creation from the, they were like a collection of, people from the, you know, the guerrillas that were fighting in the jungles, and a collection of the other, you know, the Cali drug cartel all coming together to take out all of, Escobar's, you know, network.
Right.
And yeah, just look, the movie or the show does this thing where it kind of tries to humanize Escobar's character. And Escobar is—he's played by an actor named Wagner Mora, and he's absolutely excellent, because this actor makes you actually care about this guy, because there's a lot of times where you forget what he's done, you forget the fact that thousands of innocent people have literally been murdered because of this guy, besides all the criminals as well. But even though he's done some good shit for his country, that doesn't make up for all the murder. All right. You know, the bombs that he's, you know, had blown up in his name, and, you know, all these kids that have been killed because of it, you know, he needs to pay. And regardless, his character is going to pay. But that's what's good about it, though, is that it makes you like see all these things that are going on with him during his downfall, and how it's affecting his family, and how it's affecting the other people that are chasing him's families, too. And it just all comes together. It's so well done. And I totally thought that this show was going to end after season two, because it's like, okay, well, if you know, Pablo Escobar's done, right? And then when I'm watching the final episode of the season, I was like, wait a minute, they've got this Cali cartel now that's going to be taking over. Because I also watched documentaries about Escobar, and, you know, did some, you know, Wikipedia search and shit like that, and found out there's way more stuff that happens after Escobar's gone.
Right.
And I'm like, holy shit, this is only the tip of the iceberg, man. They can keep going. And right when the season ends, you can tell that it's going to keep going. And they just announced today or yesterday that they've already signed for seasons 3 and 4 of Narcos on Netflix.
Great.
And yeah, this is a good show. Great cinematography, the editing and style of it, where they integrate old footage from real news broadcasts and stuff like that into the show, and real pictures from, you know, like murders and all this stuff. Well done. There is a lot of effort put into the show, and I highly recommend Narcos.
Okay.
All right.
Cool. I watch Politically Correct University. Once in a while, I have to sit down and watch this movie, because there's three things.
Uh-huh.
First and foremost, Jeremy Piven's in the movie, and he's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Secondly, George Clinton's in the movie, and he's fucking awesome, so it doesn't matter. And the music's done by Steve Vai. So those are the three things that are going for it. Other than that, this movie is just trash.
Okay.
The whole movie is basically about this. Well, there's no longer fraternities. So this kid is a freshman, pre-frosh. He visits this university where colleges and fraternities have been outlawed and political correctness is rampant on campus.
Okay.
So he ends up going to this place called The Pit, which used to be a I don't want to say it's like Delta House. This is like Animal House, but not as funny. And yeah, that's about it. It's not as funny, not as well made, not as well directed. He ends up making friends with these guys at the pit. These outcasts of society that live in this, you know, fraternity house,
uh-huh.
which was owned by, I'm trying to think, like these secret society Skull and Bones,
uh-huh.
you know, which David Spade is like the leader of this Republican right wing fraternity,
yeah.
for lack of a better term. And the pit is where they used to live, and now they live in some shitty little part of the dorm. And now, and they want their house back. Their fraternity is called Balls and Shaft.
That's so clever.
The whole arc of the story is the pit versus Balls and Shaft trying to get, you know, Balls and Shaft want their fucking their house back.
Yeah,
the pit doesn't want to give up. So everything that's done is just basically pranks on each other, right?
Okay.
And then in between that, you have all these societal groups, you know, the anti-men, the stoners, the vegans, you know, all this other shit, right?
The Afrocentrist group?
The Afrocentrist group, right. So just like with pretty much every party movie during the 80s, late 80s, 90s, it all ends up with a big party, a party at the end.
Yeah.
You know, when where they get some famous musicians to play. And in this one, it was George Clinton. So John Favreau's in the movie, too. He plays this guy. What was it?
Named his name Gutter.
Yeah, thank you. And he's the one that has to go get the beer for the party and fucks that up.
Yeah.
And then ends up, you know, being the hero because, you know, he's trying to... He's trying to get to the store.
He's McLovin?
No. He's trying to get to the store, and this bus pulls over, and it's fucking George Clinton, right? And
yeah.
his band, the Parliament Funkadelics.
Yeah.
He's like, look, I'm just trying to get to the store to get some beer. And they're like, well, we need to get to, you know, wherever, New Haven. We're trying to get to New Haven, Connecticut, to play. And he's like, well, you're never going to make it in time. So, but... You know, if you guys know anybody that wants to, if you're a band, you come play at our place, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, I'm fucking George Clinton. Don't you know who the fuck I am?
Yeah.
It's like, no. But the funny thing is that Favreau's character is a music major. So that was a pretty good running joke.
How the fuck do you not know who P-Funk is?
Yeah, exactly. Jake Busey's in this movie too, and he pretty much says the same thing.
Yeah.
How the fuck do you not know this? You're a music major.
Yeah.
It's a garbage movie, but there's, like I said, there's three reasons to watch it. Piven, Steve Vai's music, and George Clinton doing a couple songs at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, David Spade is David Spade. He's always played, you know, he's basically playing his character from Black Sheep or Tommy Boy or whatever.
Stick up his ass guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who gets his at the end.
Hey, look, I know what you're saying about George Clinton, man, because he shows up in a scene in a House Party.
Yeah,
and he, dude, you could see. I mean, the guy is like really comfortable in what he does, and he's funny. He's great. So I could picture him being great in this movie as well.
Yeah, they have, and there's a ton of people in this. I don't know. Chris Young hasn't made anything, but Piven, Favreau, Megan Ward's been in a ton of stuff.
Scroll down a little bit, so I can see all the balls and shaft.
Jessica Walter, Colin Fox, David Spade, Clinton.
All right. So, yeah, those are all actors.
Vivica
we're aware
Davis,
of.
Luminist. Right. Yeah, not a great movie.
47% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, Adam Leff and Zach Penn wrote it. It was based off of their exaggerated view of college life. You know, Penn and Leff were at... Wesleyan University in Middletown, Connecticut, called Eclectic Society at Wesleyan University. So, this is based off their experiences there.
Yeah,
which, yeah, I, you know,
Hollywood exaggerated.
Right? Yeah, super exaggerated. But The funny thing is it's really not that exaggerated.
Well, it's great that you bring up movies that you don't really care for.
I know. You got to bring them up.
Was that you? Was that me? Yeah, somebody.
I don't know. Was it?
I think that was you.
Oh, so Zach Penn is doing Ready Player One.
All right. I got lost in the moment, the damn phone thing. All right. So, yeah, those are our Netflix picks, even though I don't know if PCU is on Netflix or not. All right. So, yeah.
Do I ever pick a fucking movie that's on Netflix?
Every once in a while. Every little once in a blue fucking moon, man.
No, this movie was on fucking MTV of all places.
Ugh.
And then after that, one of the funniest fucking movies was 16 Candles.
Oh yeah, that is a great movie. All right, so yeah, there's our Netflix picks, man. All right, so we got some a couple of little news tidbits to talk about. This just in to a couple of average Joes.
Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. We have news.
Mel Gibson thinks that Batman v Superman is a piece of shit.
And you're going to tell me the fucking sky is blue?
Yeah, I mean,
come on.
It just
gives a fuck.
No, the reason why I bring it up is because I saw it on at least two or three entertainment websites that actually created an entire article surrounding his statements about superhero movies, especially Batman v Superman.
Yeah, but this was an article that was like 3 days, 4 days ago.
Okay, well, we weren't recording 3 or 4 days ago.
It doesn't matter if we were recording 3 or 4 days ago. This article was written like 3 or 4, even a fucking week ago.
I just find it funny that they how weak some people's writing is, that they actually have to grab shit like this. You know, it.
Yeah, that's why we don't do that. And we stick with fucking movie reviews and then come up with this shit fucking in the podcast.
It's just funny. And then another person talking shit. Apparently, Shia LaBeouf, or I call him Shia LaBeouf.
Shia the Beef.
Shia LaBeouf. He said in an interview that he thinks of Steven Spielberg as less of a director and more of as a fucking company.
Okay.
His words, fucking company.
So?
Just...
Oh, my God, controversy.
Yeah, he just seems like he's this bitter guy who like, okay, he saw the huge, big Hollywood system, and he didn't like it for whatever, you know, reasons here and there, and now he's doing his own weird little shit, you know, films, and now he's going to talk shit about the people that gave him his bread and butter.
So? You're not allowed to, like, I can't talk shit about Apple?
No,
or
no.
MCI,
what I'm saying
or
is, look,
any of these other places that I worked at prior to working where I'm working at now?
What do you think about his opinion of Steven Spielberg?
I don't care.
Exactly. So let's move on.
Yeah, that's the whole thing is everybody makes a big fucking deal out of someone's opinion about someone else.
That's my point. Is I don't really give a shit about these people's opinions.
Then why did you write it down as a fucking news story?
Because it's funny to talk about.
It's you know, Entertainment Tonight or any of these stupid other fucking news quote unquote shows, like the one with Mario Lopez Slater.
Yeah. Hey, look, dude, if I was in a big budget movie and this huge, you know, legendary director had me swinging from fucking vines with a bunch of CG monkeys, I'd be pissed off too.
Yeah, but the whole point is that all he said was he doesn't think of Steven Spielberg as a director. He's more of a corporation. So what?
Yeah.
That's exactly what he is.
Yeah.
He's not saying Steven Spielberg is, you know, he hates people or he hates races or certain colors or creeds or nationalities or whatever. He's not fucking burning a bridge. He said what he said.
Yeah.
And he's absolutely right. It's the same thing with Lucas. I don't look at George Lucas as a fucking human being. I look at him as a goddamn company.
Yeah.
And that's kind of weird to say, but when you think of Star Wars and you think of George Lucas, that's all you think of.
Yeah.
You know, you don't think of Howard the Duck.
Yeah. So you read more about this than I did. What is your take on the whole Kevin Conroy, Mark Hamill thing?
I didn't read more on this. The whole take was...
What'd you call me?
What? Huh? I said I didn't read more on this.
Would you call you call me it again?
Moron. No. The article basically said we would like to do this. It's not going to happen.
Why?
Because there is no plans for this to happen. They just said if it happens, we want to do this.
Yes, but don't you think that's an awesome endorsement for them to do for Warner Brothers to do this?
So what?
You personally have told me how much you like the storyline of Hush. Right?
Yeah, I do. I like the storyline of Hush.
So show some goddamn excitement.
I don't.
That maybe
until
this
it's,
could happen.
Look, until it's fucking happening, I don't care.
Dude, the two biggest voice actors in the Batman universe.
It doesn't
have
matter.
Already thrown on their personal endorsement on it.
It doesn't matter. Until Warner Brothers sits down and says, we're going to do this, then it matters.
Don't you think that might set some things in motion?
It may.
Because, I mean, look, they just did the Killing Joke,
so
which I forgot to bring again. Shit.
But Bruce Timm also said that there's problems with the Killing Joke. They had to do this and they had to do that to change some of the stories because it didn't work linearly.
Yeah.
You know, the Batgirl stuff, Barbara Gordon stuff may have been pushing it a bit too far, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
What, her and Batman getting freaky?
But my point being this.
What?
It's a non-story. So I skip that shit. When I see something from another site that does this fucking a current affair shit, this fake news story stuff.
Clicky baby?
It's not a story. It's a non-story. I skip past it because until Warner Brothers comes out and says, let's just say they do this. We're going to do a Death in the Family.
Yeah, what is Death in the Family?
When Jason Todd dies.
Okay.
So when Joker kills Jason Todd.
Okay.
It was one of the first comics that I can remember where they actually allowed you to vote whether he lives or dies.
Oh, okay.
And the overwhelming majority was he dies. And that caused such a fucking huge fan reaction. It was like, wait a second. You had the ability to vote on this, and now you're angry about the outcome? Shut up. So...
one of the times where voting does actually count.
Yeah. So they kill off Jason Todd, and it becomes one of the coolest Batman story arcs around.
Yeah.
You know, next to Frank Miller stuff and a couple of others. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But until that happens,
yeah,
it's a non-story. Doesn't mean shit. And all it is exactly what you said before, which is this fucking clickbaity shit. I can't stand it. And maybe that's why, you know, we're not getting the fucking numbers we're getting on Facebook, quote unquote, to get people to like our page because we're not clickbaity shit.
Yeah.
We just do our reviews and move on.
Exactly. Hey. What can you do, man? What can you do?
Keeping it real.
All right. So, I just got wind today of the Weinstein Company. They are shopping around their idea to do a miniseries on the Waco siege from 1993.
What was that guy's name? David
Koresh.
David Koresh. That's right.
Yeah, the Branch Davidians.
Right as soon as you said Koresh, I was like, David, you know, and I was like, the fucking name came to me right as soon as you said it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, guy's got a standout name. I mean, hell, he sounds like a cult leader name, huh? Koresh. So the miniseries who...
That's what they should call the miniseries. Koresh.
So they already have two actors in mind to have on the... Oh, not in mind. They're already on for the show when they're going to start doing it. It's going to be Michael Shannon, you know, played Zod in Man of Steel, and Taylor Kitsch, who's anyone knows. Taylor Kitsch is John Carter of Mars. All right.
No.
So now I could see... You know what? I could see... if Taylor Kitsch is going to be David Koresh, I could see that the makeup being made to look like him.
No.
That's a scary dude, man.
It'll come to me in a minute.
Chris O'Dowd. I could see Chris O'Dowd playing David Koresh.
Chris O'Dowd?
He was you haven't seen the movie, but he, in St. Vincent, he was the you know, the teacher at the Catholic school. He was also the boyfriend of Kristen Wiggs in Bridesmaid.
No. His head's wrong.
His head's wrong. Well, you can put a wig on a motherfucker and make him look right.
Look, no. You don't need a wig on him. His head's wrong.
And his eye sockets are wrong, too. So, so anyway, the reason why I wanted to bring this up is because about 10 years ago, or a little over 10 years ago, I watched a documentary called Waco Rules of Engagement. And it is it's a 3-hour documentary that is absolutely fascinating. It's from
Mark Ruffalo would make a better David Koresh.
It was from a documentarian side where they're not trying to be biased. They're trying to show, you know, tell the truth about it and showing how the FBI, how they cut corners trying to get these people. I mean, 80 people ended up dying in this compound, and they had footage. They had infrared footage of the attack on the compound and how you could see how there was things that.
Are we doing a documentary review?
No, just shut the fuck up. I'm trying to.
You're doing explain. A documentary review.
The reason why I'm interested in it because how good this documentary was, it piqued my interest, and so
okay.
For them,
but are they basing the miniseries off this documentary?
No.
Then why are we doing a review of a documentary?
I'm just talking about how I learned about the Waco thing. So that taught me about, I learned about Waco, the whole siege and all that. And so this it makes me interested in what they're going to do with this. And Michael Shannon is an amazing actor. So, Taylor Kitsch, I'm either way about the dude, But them doing this, I'm interested. And the Weinsteins are involved. The Weinsteins like to make quality stuff. So there we go.
Sure.
All right. Mm. Is that okay with you, man?
Sure.
His jawline's not right to play David Koresh.
There's an actor from the 80s that looks more like David Koresh, and I just can't remember his goddamn name.
Matthew Modine?
No.
I don't know. I have no idea. All right. So,
no.
Who be dat?
I think that's who.
Boxleitner?
Boxleitner.
Tron?
Yeah.
He's too old to play David Koresh.
He's too old, but young. As a young guy, I think. Whoops, spelled young.
Young.
Carl Young.
All right.
Almost. There's another guy I'm thinking of, and.
I know. I'm brain farting it myself, too, because when I saw the pictures of David Koresh, I'm like, there's an actor that we've seen that looks very similar to him that could do it. I just can't think who the hell it would be at the moment. Dude, what the fuck? You're overtyping. Taylor Kitsch, I told you.
No, see, it doesn't work.
Singer.
No.
James Blunt. James Blunt could play David Koresh.
Yeah, Michael Shannon and Taylor Kitsch, who looks just like Michael Shannon.
I could totally see the singer James Blunt playing, appearance-wise, playing David Koresh.
Tim Daly. There we go. So they already had...
Yeah, they already made a movie about it. But
what kind of fucked up picture is that?
I don't know.
Are you kidding me?
So, anyway, that's what I'm interested in, how they're going to do a Waco miniseries. Because it is. I wonder if they're going to do like Narcos, where they're going to integrate actual footage into the show, or if they're just going to be completely, its own reenactment, Hollywood style, whatever. I don't know. I have no idea. But
I do have a fucking miniature goddamn rant. Leslie Jones. Ever since...
From Ghostbusters?
No. From Saturday Night Live.
Okay, from Saturday Night Live.
Ever since Ghostbusters, Leslie Jones has been a target, let's face it.
Yeah.
But my rant isn't about her being the target. My rant is about her in particular.
So you're going to target her as well?
Yes. Because... She's an asshole. Aside from the shit she got for Ghostbusters, that's above and beyond.
Yeah, it's unacceptable.
Yeah, and I don't condone that. But one of our local celebrity guys, Carmichael Dave, mentioned on his own Twitter that he didn't care for the NBC Olympics in the way they did things, blah, 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 because And I don't think he said Leslie Jones, but he basically said I don't like the way that is going with the live commentary stuff. It's garbage.
Okay.
And Leslie Jones basically fucking hammered on him. And he said to her, "This isn't about you. I never mentioned you in my tweet, and yet you're making it all about you. Maybe you need to fucking back off, because, you know."
Did he hit
the nerve? Not everything is about you, Leslie. So, relax. Leslie Jones has been doing this for a while because I don't know why, but she's awful. She's an awful actress, and she's not funny.
Mm-hmm.
Because she tries too hard. She's trying too hard to be Melissa McCarthy or fucking Eddie Murphy or
Chris Rock.
Yeah, or not just Chris Rock, but George Carlin, you know, or any of these comedians that string along these. Well, you know, like in the trailer for that new movie where Zach Galifianakis plays a bank robber.
Yeah.
Where she's like, "This looks like with Kenny Rogers and whoever and Kenny Loggins had a baby, you know, and then they invited Kenny G over and just messed them all up." That's not funny. That isn't even a funny line. So if she improv'd that line, there are 100 lines that she could have done that were much better. But yet they use that as her funniest. She wasn't funny in Ghostbusters. No. She would have been much better if she had just taken the Ernie Hudson route and been a serious actor, a comedian, playing a serious role with some comedic lines.
Yeah.
That's a big Twinkie, right?
Yeah. Instead of, "I don't know if this is a lady thing or a black thing."
Right. Who gives a fuck? That's not funny.
No.
And she goes on these rants, like anybody that mentions any, like if you circle around her name and she thinks you're talking about her, she'll try to fucking blow you up. And it's like, oh,
and you notice
lose
that,
weight.
And you notice that no one's going to put her in her place because they're afraid.
Yeah. It's like, shut the fuck up, Leslie Jones. Not talking to you. But if you really want to get into a Twitter argument, I'll be more than glad to get into a Twitter argument just to up my Twitter account.
Yes.
I'd be more than glad to. That's my point, is that she just, I don't know what it is about her. But stop trying so hard.
You're like a
fucking 12-year-old that thinks you're funny.
I don't even know what to say about it, man. I don't. It's not out of fear or anything. I don't even have a general opinion about Leslie Jones. All I've seen her do is be a freaking loudmouth in whatever she's in.
Yeah. And that's my, you know, I'm nothing bad against her. I don't know her personally. I don't wish any harm on her. I just wish she would shut her fucking mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because I just don't get the... I don't get the Leslie Jones thing.
Yeah.
You know, where did she come from? I know she was on Saturday Night Live. I don't know what else she did. Well, I've got fucking Wikipedia right
here. She had a small role in Top 5 with Chris Rock, that movie I gave praise to.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, you know, she's a loudmouth in that, but she was funny in that because it was like a more honest loudmouth.
Yeah.
From where she's from in the movie, her character's at.
Ooh, Leslie Jones makes a triumphant return to Twitter after a vicious cyber attack. Oh, that's right, because her Twitter account was hacked and nude photos leaked out. Wait a second. Why the fuck do you have nude photos hidden on your Twitter account? How dumb are you?
I don't want to see them.
I don't see, and I don't buy that. I don't buy these fucking made-up stories where, oh, my Twitter account was attacked and my nudes were leaked. No, they weren't. No, they fucking weren't.
What's with the accent?
I don't know. Kanye. See, that just makes me not want to like her. And she's got a sister named Taronda. I mean, come on. She's just inviting this shit. She was a Saturday Night Live, been a featured performer for Just for Laughs, which is she was on 1 hour comedy special Problem Child, Ghostbusters Answer the Call as Patty Tolan. Oh, that's what they're calling it now, Ghostbusters yeah. Answer the Call.
Yeah.
You know. She does stand up. I'm sure she was funny before she got into movies and stuff. I mean, she obviously had something because Dave Chappelle loves her and Jamie Foxx helped her out. Yeah, she was booed. She was booed in front of Jamie Foxx's crowd. So, I just, you know, Ghostbusters and that's it. She starred in Ghostbusters. And she did fucking the 2016 Olympics. All state.
And yeah, she had a role in top five. Otherwise, I don't know what I've seen her in.
Yeah, she's like a really bad Whoopi Goldberg. And I find anybody that fucking attacks somebody based on color, race, creed, you know,
deplorable.
Yeah, you're a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
But that doesn't stop me from saying that you're unfunny. Because that has nothing to do with race, color, or creed. Oh, so she's been in a ton of stuff since 1987.
She's in a lottery ticket. There you go. That she was in National Security with Martin Lawrence.
Ugh. A guy thing. Gangsta Rap, the Glockumentary. Really?
Yeah.
Top House five, Arrest.
Trainwreck. I forgot she was in. Oh, look. In Trainwreck, she played the angry subway patron.
Masterminds. Sing. You know, good for her. She's doing something. She was in Dark Angel.
Episode called Boo.
The League. Huh. Okay. Workaholics. Anyways. I don't find her funny.
No.
You know, I don't. And she would have been so much better if they had just been serious with fucking her role in Ghostbusters.
Look, I don't know what it is she has to go through, you know, in the Hollywood system. I don't know. But every time I see her, she's just a big loudmouth. Okay, maybe she's accepting those roles to keep, you know, furthering her career, or, you know, to stay in the spotlight, if you will. I don't know. But
she's addicted to. She's addicted to that style. Now.
But if she wants to, you know, maybe she doesn't want a lot of people talking shit about her, you know, regardless of how fucking mean people might be about it, about her race and everything, her appearance. Maybe stop stereotyping yourself.
Probably.
You know, maybe that would help. So, anyway. All right, that's all I got about Leslie fucking Jones, or you got about Leslie Jones.
Goat.
All right, so I saw a trailer for a movie called Goat. I saw the Red Band trailer. It is a movie about college hazing. It's set in a fraternity, of course, and young man goes in there after his brother was there, and his brother, you know, talked about all the hazing and shit and brotherhood, fraternity, blah, blah, blah. And James Franco's at the top of the credits. Now, But the funny part is that James Franco is only in like two or three scenes in the entire film. He pretty much cameos in the movie, but in the trailers, they make it look like he's in the whole fucking movie. Anyway, this movie looks fucking intense. It just looks like an extreme version of you know, any kind of college movie that you've seen recently, where the hazing attempt, like Old School, was funny and a little goofy, a little teeny bit over the top, but nothing too unsafe, right? But with this movie, it almost looks like a hidden camera type movie where you see this crazy shit that they're doing. I mean, the movie's called Goat for a reason. And it pretty much boils down to, if you don't do this or do that while you're pledging, you might have to fuck a goat. I mean, that's pretty goddamn brutal right there. So
you have to goat?
Fuck a goat.
Oh.
Yeah, literally. So anyway, it looks like it could be very interesting. And it looks like almost like a college version of Spring Breakers, which you wanted to talk about, remember?
Right.
So, I still to this day have not seen Spring Breakers, which also has James Franco in it. But what did you think of that movie? What is your take?
What is my What is my opinion on Spring Breakers? Interesting. Dave Franco.
James.
James Franco.
Yeah.
And his brother's eyebrows. James Franco is really good in the movie.
Yeah. Like, he relishes in the role, right?
Yeah. He plays a gangster that gets these girls out of jail after they rob a convenience store.
Okay.
Now, my problem is that for the entire movie, you have, what is it, Selena Gomez? Selena Gomez and three other girls.
Vanessa Hudgens, I think, is one of them.
Yeah.
From High School Musical.
Yeah, yeah. Or whoever. Well, hold on a second. I've got the internet right fucking here.
Somewhere.
What the fuck are you doing?
Dave Franco.
Why are you fucking up? Stop fucking my...
Okay, here's your Dave Franco's eyebrows.
No, because they're not black.
Explain to the audience what you're seeing, Mike. Explain.
Joe took my peel-off mustache things, these little Post-it notes, and put them on his head as eyebrows.
How you like it?
They're stupid.
Well, fine. Fuck you.
Vanessa
then.
Hudgens, Selena Gomez, Ashley Benson, and Rachel Corrine. You asked. Don't put it back.
Why?
Because they got your fucking head grease on them.
That's a blessing. That's a
no.
Privilege.
It's not a blessing. It ruins fucking paper. I wouldn't put them back. Don't just leave it alone. Put it down.
I am.
Put that one down.
I am.
You don't need to do anything. There we go.
Gee, you touchy fuck. There you go.
Now, put those back on your head. Now you just got a unibrow. Bring it down lower. Or, no, actually, flip it upside down.
It's running out of juice.
It probably is. There we go. That's much better. That's the way you should have had them on your head, upside down. So anyways, James Franco plays this gangster rap star guy. Rap wannabe.
Yeah.
He's also a drug dealer, big time. And he gets these girls out of jail. Now, Selena Gomez is in the movie for all of 20 minutes. And then she takes off and goes home on a bus.
Mm.
That leaves three of them. And they end up robbing people, banks, and fucking killing people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The problem with the movie that I have is this. All of the girls are wearing bikinis 100% of the time. And it makes no fucking sense to me.
Total exploitation.
Well, yeah. And at the end of the movie, where they go and they kill this kingpin's fucking entire group of people, Franco dies, but these girls survive. They don't get shot. Nothing happens. And then, you know, they murder everybody. They're wearing head ski masks.
Okay.
They're wearing pink ski masks on their head.
Okay.
Right? And they're wearing fucking bikinis. It makes no fucking sense. This whole movie made no sense to me because it's just not...
Let's take Girls Gone Wild and make it a crime, a bank robber movie.
Kind of. But Franco was great in it.
Yeah, because Franco's is a very good actor.
Right.
And he relishes his roles.
Yeah. And the fact that, you know, the chicks in bikinis,
yeah.
I'm fine with that. But the movie sucked. My problem with this is they're making a sequel. They made a sequel.
Yeah. I think Franco said he was down to come back for a sequel. But
no,
you say
he wasn't.
Got killed.
No, he's not down. Storyline will have connections to the previous film. Franco released a statement saying that the sequel was not done with Harmony Korine or Mike Cassatt. Consent. Not cassette. And that the producers were capitalizing on the innovative film to make money on a weak sequel and attempting to make money off of somebody else's creativity. And I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't like Spring Breakers because I just found the film. I found the film to be more unbelievable than Yoga Hosers.
Okay.
That's how I feel
more
about this movie.
More unrealistic than Nazi Bratwurst.
Yes.
which is a cryogenically frozen Nazi scientist.
And it's in A24 Films is the same fucking company that released the last couple of Kevin Smith movies, by the way. began a campaign for best supporting actor
for Franco on YouTube.
Yeah, published a YouTube video titled "James Franco, Consider This Shit." He has received the Los Angeles Film Critics Association Award for Best Supporting Actor, National Society for Best Supporting Actor, San Francisco Film Critics, blah, blah, blah. All these accolades for this movie. You know, cinematography, original score. I'll tell you one thing, though. The way that they filmed the movie was fucking amazing. Because they do the glowy fucking, like the rave parties,
yeah,
where they have glow sticks and whatever else, but they have the bikinis like that.
Okay.
So when you see them running at night, their bikinis are glowing and whatever else.
Yeah.
Not just them, but you know, everybody else. Like if you're wearing a dark shirt, you can see the silhouette of like the gold chains and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Cinematography is fucking great. However, I just didn't find the movie.
Does it kind of remind you of Pain and Gain in a way?
No.
Oh, that movie kind keeps popping in my head.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, the whole portrayal of women thing, I don't buy into. I just found that the movie was not interesting to me. $5 million budget made $31 million.
Yeah.
So, not bad. Unfortunately, Harmony Korine probably doesn't own the rights to it.
That's a dude.
Yeah. You didn't know that was a dude?
No. I hear the name Harmony. I think straight up it's going to be a girl.
Yeah.
A lady.
So.
All right. So that's all you got?
That's all I got.
Spring Breakers.
Yeah. I mean, watch it. You may like it. Who knows?
At least see it based on a Franco's performance, right?
It may be your Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, and bouncy titties and neon colored bikinis. Mm-hmm. All right. So the next movie that we will be talking about on A Couple of Average Joes is the Sam Raimi produced or directed?
Produced.
Produced film Don't Breathe, starring Stephen Lang and whoever else. So we'll be talking about that wonderful film or piece of shit we don't know yet, and we'll let you know how it is. And also our Netflix picks of the week. Or in Mike's non-Netflix pick of the week.
Just the picks of the week.
And the picks of the week. All right. So, for A Couple of Average Joe's movie reviews.
Fuck.
Yoga Hosers edition. I am Joe Spiegel.
Dave Franco's eyebrows.
You're Dave Franco's goddamn eyebrows. All right. So.
That's directed by Fede Alvarez.
Okay. Who the fuck is that?
He's the guy that directed Evil Dead.
Oh. Well, it says it right there on the poster. No, shut up. All right.
Fucking dummy.
You're a son of a bitch.
All right. So anyway.
Who wants to say it?
Fede.
Yeah, Evil Dead 2013.
Yeah. I got to buy that. I don't have that. I still don't have that on home video.
Dummy.
Hey, I bought Ash vs. Evil Dead on Blu-ray.
Great. Good for fucking you.
Yeah. It's an awesome show.
I'm sure it is.
So suck it.
Okay.
All right. Bye. Good night.
Have a beautiful time.
Good show! Jolly good show! Jolly good show indeed!
Hakuna Matata, bitches!
Please share the podcast. The more people that listen, the better off we are. Thanks again.
For more great podcasts and my movie reviews, don't forget to visit www.acoupleofaverageshows.com.
This is the end. It's the end. Finito! The end, I tell you! We're all going to nibble the dust!
Or go fuck yourself.